Good morning, Council. Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. This is our fourth and final case set for oral argument. This is cases number A19-1700, A19-1701, A19-1702, and A19-1703. Please be seated, Council. State of Minnesota versus Guy Gerald Sands Chagrin. Is that how it's pronounced?
Sands Chagrin.
At all, and counsel for appellants, are you going to be splitting any time at all?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. So you will have 15 minutes for your initial arguments, followed by 15 minutes by respondent, and then 5 minutes for rebuttal if you so choose. The podium can be raised up and down. There's a button underneath. And when you start, please state your name for the record and the party or parties that you are representing. Counsel for appellants, you may proceed.
And good morning, Your Honors. Martin Norder, N-O-R-D-E-R. Representing the state of Minnesota on this matter, specifically the city of Shorewood. I'll just briefly kind of address the facts in this matter. This is a
Council, we're familiar with the facts, so
I'll just dive right in then.
Jump into the issues.
The respondents were cited in this matter for the violation of a dock ordinance of the city of Shorewood.
A zoning violation?
Correct. They filed a motion to dismiss for lack of probable cause in the district court, and it was granted, and that's what brings us here. The district court specifically stated that Minnesota Statute 15.99 applied to their first appeal. I should say they were given a notice of their violation. They filed an appeal to the city, and
in response to the initial notice of zoning violation, correct?
Correct, notice of violation, correct. Their argument, or the district court's argument, was that there was no action take. Well, first of all, the 15.99 applied, and that there was no action within 60 days by the city, and therefore that request that they were not in violation was granted by the city. In our argument, we state what it means to request in 15.99, which does say a written application related to zoning and other issues. I think the key case that we cite in this matter is the EV County of Cass case.
So Council, I want to go to Minnesota Statute 15.99, Subdivision 1C, and request. And if I understand your argument, your first argument is that their letter did not meet the requirements of a request.
That's correct.
Okay. And so a request has to be a written application related to zoning. And the letter says Ray admin notices/notice of zoning violation. So it seems to be related to zoning. And then it says a request must be submitted in writing to the agency on an application form provided by the agency if one exists. And my review of the record, there's no application form, so they can just send a letter in whatever form they want, right?
There's no application form for this type, correct?
Okay, so they can submit a letter and it says, the request must clearly identify on the first page the specific permit, license, or other governmental approval being sought. And in the first paragraph it says, we respectfully appeal this order to the City Council per your direction by this writing to you before the deadline. And assume any order to remove the dock will be held in abeyance until this matter is ultimately resolved. So, and it's talking about the administrative notice/notice of zoning violation in the Ray line. So, and then the next paragraph, it goes into the basis for appeal. So, in what respect does it not meet the request definition under Section 15.99, Subdivision 1C?
Because it's a notice of appeal. They're appealing the original letter, and that's again how the Yee case talked about that.
Right, wait a minute. Can you say that again?
Well, the Yee v. County of Cass case, it's very similar.
Right.
There was a they noted they the government agency in that matter stated that, or sent a letter to the owner saying your dock system is no longer going to be valid, and they appealed that, the notice of appeal. Actually, this, I think, was a written letter.
Well, but this doesn't say this is a notice of appeal. It says we respectfully appeal this order. So I think that makes it different than the UE case, right?
I would say it does not, Your Honor. I think it's still
why not? What am I missing when it says we respectfully appeal?
Well, it's an appeal. It says we respectfully appeal.
Right, so I think the distinction is the difference between filing an appeal and filing the notice of appeal, right, if you're going to think about it in terms of what happens at a district court. So here, this is, if you look at it, more akin to the actual appeal than it would be to a notice of something else that hasn't happened yet. I think that's the distinction that Judge Reyes is making.
I understand that, but I would say it's there is no distinction, and I think the respondent does cite even the zoning or the Shorewood City Code, which talks about how you do an appeal, and it describes the process.
The UK case talked about quote unquote an intent to appeal, whereas here this letter is in response to the notice of a zoning violation, which specifically says, hey, if you want to, here's our ruling. If you want to appeal this, you need to respond within, 10 days?
I believe whatever.
And so they're responding to the letter from the city of Shorewood saying, yes, we want to, you know, we respectfully appeal this order. We disagree with it, and here's the reasons why. But going to the Yee case, that case turned on not so much on the words of whether it was an intent to appeal or appeal. That, from my reading of it, there they said that there is no request made. So I think that's the key issue, is whether or not this letter meets the definition of a request.
Well, I believe they did say the letter was a notice of appeal and not a written request, and I think that's argument for this as well. It's not an intent to appeal or appeal. I know it says we're appealing this, and they give their reasons why, which they have a right to do. But I don't think it makes it in, doesn't make it fall into 15.99.
You were talking about the code that talks about how to appeal something?
That's correct.
And does that require a separate notice?
As far as the Shorewood ordinance?
Yeah.
No, I think that's how you do it. I think the respondent cited that's how you appeal any kind of administrative citation or anything like that. And I know they talked about how it relates to 15.99 because it talks about, I believe, you know, the city council must take action and finds a fact within the time allowed by Minnesota statutes. And they talk about how that would trigger 15.99. I would argue that if you look at another statute that talks about Planning Commission action, which this did go to the Planning Commission and they reviewed it, the statute 462.354, it does refer to Planning Commissions and Board of Adjustments and Appeals and that such. And they do reference a 60-day notice to make a decision on the appeals, but that's, I believe, a separate issue or separate 60 days from 15.99. So there's a distinction between when you make an appeal of an administrative action and also making a request under 15.99, which would trigger the action. And there are some things, this 1201.05 talks about variances. Obviously, an application for a variance would trigger 15.99 because that is a request, but this was not that. This was an appeal of the administrative decision, and they laid out their reasons why they think or why they support their appeal.
I'm going to go back to my original question. Why does that letter not meet the requirements of a request under 15.99?
Because it's an appeal. I think there's a difference between an appeal does not trigger 15.99.
Why? So you're saying those are mutually exclusive?
Correct.
That seems to be contrary to what Ye said, because it talks about, although it stated its basis of, there was an appeal, but the court there said that it didn't trigger, that 15.99 did not apply because, quote, in that letter, there is no request.
There was no.
Page 130 of the opinion.
Yep. It was an appeal. It was a letter.
But the language there is, quote, in that letter, there is no request. That is the reason why the A court denied the party there.
And I think what they did here.
So that case stands for the proposition that there has to be a request that meets the requirements of 1599. That makes sense. If you're going to invoke 1599, you have to meet the requirements under 1599, right?
Well, I would say when they appealed it, yes, they list out their, they didn't request anything. They listed out why they were appealing it. I think there's a difference between that and a request.
Why isn't the when you look at that part, and then also at the very end of the letter, they say, as you can see, we've taken great pains to understand the city's code by provisions, review our position with legal counsel, and to comply with the provisions with regard to this property. Accordingly, we believe we do comply with the city's code, and we will respectfully wait to hear from you with regard to your thoughts on this matter. That seems like a request for a response from the city.
And it was a response to the appeal. I believe what they were requesting is that they're saying, they were appealing why they thought they were.
Aren't they requesting to allow the dock? Isn't it pretty clear from the letter that that's the request in part? And then the other part is please also apply the codes from the LMCA.
Yeah, it is.
Those are the two requests. If I had to identify what their ask is, keep the dock and apply the LMCA.
Those are what they LSA requesting, but I will say it's not a request under 1599. It was draped in an appeal where they listed out why they're appealing. Were the requests in there? I guess you could call them requests, but they weren't requests under 15.99.
Okay, so let's assume that they are requests. Let's assume that they meet their requirement.
Under 15.99?
Yes.
Okay.
So just for the sake of argument, because then there's the second part of it of whether or not the city's action or inaction that it took under 15.99 subdivision 2, it says that if a request is made, then an agency must either approve or deny within 60 days a written request relating to zoning. And it further says, failure of an agency to deny a request within 60 days is approval of the request. So my question to you is, did the agency deny the request at any time?
I believe that we argue this in our brief, they withdrew the first notice of violation.
Withdrawal is different than a denial. Did the City of Shorewood ever send the parties a letter saying, we deny your request?
I don't believe they sent an actual denial letter. They withdrew the first notice, which I would argue was a they could do that. I think it was, I don't know what you.
Well, the city could certainly.
It wasn't action. That was their action.
Okay, the city could certainly do that, but under the statute, it says if the agency doesn't deny a request, then it is considered to be an approval.
And again, I'm not sure if this goes back to whether it's a request. I'm not sure what they would have been approving.
They're asking to be able to use their seasonal dock.
I understand,
right?
Yeah, but they appealed it. The city, if you want to say 1599 applies, I would say their action in withdrawing the first appeal or the first notice was the action they took. I know they were talking about why they think, they were giving their opinion why they think they were should be allowed to keep the dock. But again, I don't think they were requesting, and I don't know how anything that the city said would have approved or said, we agree with you. They never said anything like that. And then as you see subsequently, I know the trial judge, we didn't really get into it, but they did eventually recite them, and that's kind of what brought us here.
Recited them, though, after you amended, after the city amended the code.
That's
right?
Correct.
And I guess that's the part. I see that analysis in the district court's decision. It's not commented on the parties in the brief, so I'm guessing that you don't take issue with it because you're arguing with the district court's premises, right?
That's correct.
Isn't a request, and we did respond under
correct.
1599. So, but the district court does have some analysis at 8 and 9 of the opinion about non-conforming uses and that the city would not have had authority to do this second citation, right, if the defendant's dock is a non-conforming use. Isn't that right?
If it would have been approved, which I don't know if it was or not, they do address that a little bit, but I don't think we got there.
But the city does have a limitation on its authority, which is why we're focusing so hard on this first exchange, and it's why the district court focused on it as well, as the city can't just in midstream change the code if it's a non-conforming use, right? Or at least they can't cite someone for that. They can still change the code. They can't cite someone for violating.
And I think we, in our briefs originally, we did argue about why, legal non-conforming we can, but that they didn't get there in the district court, so I don't think that's why I addressed it, but I understand your argument that...
Right. We don't have legal nonconformity as an argument in front of us, right? You're not challenging that part of the district court's decision.
No, because I think we would argue the changes to the code they made did not change the legal status of the dock, but that's not what was before... Right. Before your honors,
You know, and I just have to be honest with you, counsel, with the way this happened, your response that the city's withdrawal of their citation isn't the same or amounts to being the same as the denial of the whatever request. I mean, I know you contest it wasn't. You contend it was not a request. But, I mean, it sounds a bit like bait and switch. So we're going to withdraw the citation from the first notice, and then we're going to change the code, and now we're going to cite you under the new code. I mean, in your now efforts to avoid the implications of 1599, you know, it just sounds like you're trying to do an end run around this limitation on municipal authority.
Well, again, as we argued, we argue 1599 doesn't apply, I understand. Mm-hmm. If we get to 15.99, I understand your concerns about that, yes.
Mr. Doerr, there's a separate piece of this that I'm curious to hear your response, because in 2018, there's the second violation in June, a response 3 days later, and then another letter on July 3rd that says, this is a request under 15.99. We want you to consider our nonconforming use. So are you saying that that letter on July 3rd is also not a request, despite the fact that it says this is a request under 15.99?
And that was the second... The second
or July 3rd, 2018 letter were essentially, and I see the time's up, so I don't know if we want to. Okay.
You can proceed.
Is my question clear?
No,
we've talked about the first letter.
Correct.
This is a different letter. I'm asking, is this a request? Because on the face of it, it basically says this is a request under 15.99. And our request is that you consider the dock to be a nonconforming use.
And that was.
I don't know that anything happened. It didn't appear in the record that anything happened in response to that request. So can you tell us what you think about whether the July 3rd letter triggers 1599 or not?
I would – I know they cited on there. I still think it would not be a request. That's what I would say.
Okay. Thank you, counsel. You'll have 5 minutes for rebuttal. Counsel for respondents?
Your Honor and counsels, may it please the court, my name is Wynn Curtis. I represent the respondents in this matter. Judge Miller, in her order, rightly determined that the May 13th, 2017 letter appealing the first notice constituted a written request. And very specifically in her order, she says, fairly read, the appeal can only be viewed as a request by the defendant for the city that the city withdraw its determination. It's really not logical to say that it's not a request. City sends a notice and says, this is our opinion, this is our position, you're in violation of the ordinance. You can appeal. We'll call it, and that's what it's called in their ordinance, it's called an appeal. So you request an appeal or you'd file an appeal, but your appeal is, why would you file an appeal to agree with them? You are, of course, disagreeing with the city. The point of your appeal is to request that they change their mind and that they grant the relief that contrary to what their order is. So it doesn't really make sense the fact that the word request is not in that May letter doesn't change the fact that the point of the appeal is to ask that the city approve the existence of the dock, notwithstanding the original notice of violation. The 500 LLC case talks about, well, first of all, this is clearly it's written. There's no question about it. That 500 LLC case talks about the fact that the request has to deal with conduct of a specific use of the land. Clearly, this is about conduct of the specific use of the land. It's the existence of and the use of the dock on that property. And the second part of that is that request has to be, or that it has to relate to the framework of the regulatory structure relating to zoning. Clearly, this is relating to zoning. I don't think there's any question about the fact it's relating to zoning. The letter talks about zoning. 1201, which is the appeal provision of the ordinance, talks about zoning. The allegation is that it's a violation of the zoning ordinance. So it is a written document. So if the only question, it's a written document relating to zoning that deals with the use of the land. So the only question here is whether this is a request or not. The fact that there's not a specific ask in or a clear ask, I think you indicated, Judge Bryan, that that at the end of it, the letter does say, we want to know what your response is to our, you know, our position that we think we can use our dock. So it's an indirect request. It's not obviously specific, well, but it's an indirect request.
If the appellants had wanted to be, I'm sorry, the respondents had wanted to be proactive and not wait to respond to a notice of violation, but to, is there some process, a variance, something that they, a permit, something that they could have applied for in the first instance?
There actually isn't. And of course, the reason that there isn't is because their position is, has always been, that this dock is a legal, allowable use of their property. So they don't need to go ask for a variance, because what would the variance be to? Nothing. From their standpoint, it's legal or it's not legal. There's no permit required in the city to get a dock, even on a totally conforming piece of property. There's no requirement that you have that you apply for a permit to install a dock in the city of Shorewood. So there's actually nothing that they could do to initiate the a formal request to the city. I suppose they could write them a letter and say, this is our position, but I'm not sure why you'd want to poke the bear if there's no reason to do so.
And you don't believe that we should construe 1599 to require property owners to do something like that if there may be a question to seek essentially an advisory opinion before moving forward? You're not saying that that's what 1599 would require?
No, I don't think 1599 requires that, because you'd be asking every citizen to make a judgment call about whether their use of the property meets an ordinance requirement or regulatory requirement. Now, if the ordinance says you have to have a permit to get a dock, then they have to have a permit to get a dock and they apply for the permit. But if there's nothing in the ordinances that requires you to do something, then I don't think that that a citizen has to go forward every time to ask the city, can I do this? If there's nothing obviously precluding them from doing it, I don't think you can put a burden on a citizen, and don't think the cities want somebody to come in every time and ask them, do I need permission to do this? You set up your regulatory scheme and the people look at it and they apply it. So there was nothing, again, there is really nothing that they could have done to initiate this in any formal process. And in fact, just sort of as an aside, in 1201, which is their, which is the city's ordinance, under the variance section, it specifically says, a variance process is neither appropriate or applicable to allow a use on a property that's not permitted. So you couldn't have gone in to apply. If you believed it was permitted, you can't go in and ask for it to do something that wasn't permitted. So the variance wouldn't have allowed them to do anything on that in that situation anyway.
So, Council, I'd like you to focus on responding to the state's argument, and I may mispronounce it, but the Yay versus County Cass case, where this court said, and we've already talked quite a bit about the case, but I want to hear your take on it, that basically the closing portion of this court's opinion was given the decisive effect of Section 1599, because I think you would agree it's quite a decisive statute, so that I think that part of our opinion is pretty clear. This court said, we are not inclined to expand its operation beyond its clear meaning to include notices of appeal, and in that case also letters confirming telephone conversations.
Sure.
So this letter that we're talking about in your case, it was, in fact, the defendant's notice of appeal, but you've already argued it was also their whole appeal. So how do we differentiate it?
Sure. Well, I think a couple of things with regard to the Yay case. First of all, the facts in Yay are a lot more convoluted than the facts are here. That was a process in which the developer had been negotiating and discussing with the city and applying for various and sundry building permits and other kind of permits for 2 years before the city, or the county, I guess, in that case, decided that the developer was being dishonest about its actual intent. And so 2 years into that development process, having approved some building permits and then commensurate with that some dock usage things, they look at it and go, this isn't what you told us it was going to be. We're withdrawing those provisions that we've already approved. That's not this case. I mean, this case is a very straightforward case of, can we have a dock or can we not have a dock? And you're asking a very simple, you know, straightforward question. I don't think that the there were two things. There was one letter that just said this is a confirming letter. Well, that's not anything. It's just a confirming letter.
No,
it's
but
not
looking
even
at the notice of appeal letter in Yay.
There is a second letter that says this is our notice of our intent to appeal your decision with regard to taking away our existing the previously provided for dock stuff. I think the court in Yay was simply reluctant based on that convoluted and messy situation where this was something that had been going on for 2 years. There was no specific anything that they had pulled back from that they were now in a dispute about. There was many, many different previous permits that had gone on. I mean, some of these things had been built a year ahead of time. So I don't think it's really analogous. I do think the court was expressing its concern that it didn't want to step out in front on 1599. But I think that the response to that, the answer to that, is the 500 LLC case, where the Supreme Court says, look, it's a broader statute than has been previously considered. The court says that the language relating to zoning is meant to be broadly defined. The court says that the statute 1599, where it talks about zoning-related things, isn't restricted to the kinds of zoning requests that are in 1599, variances and things like that it talks about. In fact, the application in 500 LLC isn't even a zoning application. It's a completely different parallel thing it's a predecessor kind of thing, but that you have to do. So the court in 500 LLC was attempting to say, if it's zoning related, if it has to do with the use of property, if it's a written request, and you're asking for some decision of the government entity that controls that zoning request, then 1599 applies. And that's what I think the status of 1599 is, as opposed to Yay. I think had the 2013 case, the 500 LLC case been done before, Yay might have been handled differently. Although, again, I would say maybe not, because, again, it was a much more convoluted set of facts. There's not a specific kind of limited direct application for one thing. It's a much messier situation. The other thing I would note is that the ordinance 120105, which is the ordinance for the city of Shorewood, says what you have to do, and specifically says it calls the appeal a request. There's five different ways that they use the word request in their own ordinance. So clearly they consider the appeal to be a request for some kind of action or determination with regard to the zoning. And in fact, 1599 also refers to having to make a decision within the time allowed by law. What other time allowed by law is there? 1599 is 60 days. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say specifically 1599, but it says you have to do it. It tracks 1599's requirements in terms of giving notice. It tracks 1599's requirements in terms of giving, sending the order in terms of when you have to do it. They adopted 1599 without listing it. They adopted it. They imposed it, and now they want to get out from under it. So they didn't. Now the fact that they withdrew the notice, that doesn't do them any good. Once the request has been made, you don't get to avoid having to make the decision. In fact, in Yay, the court recalls, in Yeh, one of the issues in Yeh was that they punted on a decision. I mean, 1599 didn't save them, but the court said, look, if you're responsible to make a decision, you don't get to punt and say, well, you know, we're not going to make a decision. They had to make a decision. In this case, once my clients had asked for a decision with regard to whether their dock was legally usable, they had to make a decision. And instead, they didn't. And then, of course, what they ultimately did was
I understand that under 1599, they have this deadline to deny something.
Correct.
Right? And if you don't deny it, then you've approved it.
Correct.
You've also talked about the appeal provisions of the Shoreview Code. Is there anything in the Shoreview Code that would require the city, similar to 1599, that would require the city to do anything if they receive an appeal? Do they have a certain time frame? Do they have to approve or deny? Is there anything in, because I think what appellants are saying is that there's two separate processes. One's under 1599. They don't think that was triggered, so you're left with whatever's in the city code. So my question is, if we agree with that, are we then having to remand for the various other bases for the motion to dismiss? And if so, is that also a potential non-conforming use argument under the Shoreview Code if they didn't follow the process that's under the code?
Okay. So let me go back to this, see if I can answer the first question, which is, does their ordinance require something independent of 1599? That's your one of your questions.
Is the city obligated under their ordinance to do something if they receive an appeal?
Their ordinance doesn't have any language about whether they have the authority to withdraw a notice once they've granted, or once they've issued a notice. It doesn't say anything in here about whether they have to withdraw a notice. What the appeal provision says is the citizen files the appeal. Then it says the Planning Commission shall review the appeal. The Planning Commission shall consider the possible adverse effects. The Planning Commission shall make findings. And then they send those, shall be forwarded to the City Council. Upon receiving the request, the City Council shall make a recorded finding of fact, and action shall require passage. And then it says the zoning administrator. So, but what it says is the City Council shall make a recorded finding of fact within the time allowed by Minnesota statute. They don't say what statute, but why would it not be 1599? It's exactly the kind of thing that 1599 applies to. So they don't. Their ordinance isn't clear as to what their time.
But even under that apparatus, if there is something different, there could potentially be a non-conforming use argument by the time that the citation comes out in 2018, because the city didn't act in 2017 either.
My time is up in 1 second, but I can answer that for you if you want, briefly.
Yes.
I think the answer is yes, and as Judge Brasfold mentioned, and as well as is in Judge Miller's discussion, that was one of our arguments at the trial court. Judge Miller elected, although she went through and talked about some of the facts, she elected not to decide any of the other issues. So if this went back, that 1599 doesn't apply and this goes back, there's five more things that she's going to have to look at. That is one of them, the fact that it was still a non-conforming use regardless. Of a grandfathered non-conforming use, regardless of whether 1599 applied. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. Council for Appellant, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I'd like to just kind of just go back to the language of 15.99, definition of the request. It says request means a written application related to zoning, and there's a couple other things in there. It says for a permit, license, or other governmental approval of action. I know Council stated that the notice of appeal and the letter stated they were asking for the city to approve the existing status of the dock. The city had already made that determination. They said it was in violation of the code. And the notice of appeal and the appeal were the reasons why respondents, I think, were appealing it and why they said they were not in violation. Again, they're not. There's no asking for government approval of an action. They're appealing it. I think to expand 15.99, which the Yeh case said that they would not, to include appeals, to do in this case, it would kind of create, citizens would be asking for advisory opinions that would trigger 15.99.
Well, it wouldn't be an advisory opinion, because what you have here is the city saying you can't use your dock. And they're coming to the city saying, wait, we think we can use it. We're seeking your approval to be able to use it because we think it's a legal use under the city ordinance.
Correct. It's an appeal and their reason to appeal in this case. I'm saying if 15.9 gets expanded, it could create a situation where people could just...
See, I think that's what you're asking for. I think your reading of the yay or ye case in conjunction with how you're reading 1599 essentially would have obligated respondents here to, in 2016, sought some advisory opinion of the Shoreview City Council because the code didn't allow for them to apply for a permit or variance or any other application that you would concede fits under your 1599. So by reading it the way you want, which is more narrow, you create an obligation on every citizen to find out if, you know, if they want to, whatever it is that they want to do on their property, they would have to ask ahead of time in some form. And I think it's not the reading of 1599 that respondents are putting forward that creates that advisory opinion, if you want to think of it. That happens under your reading of it.
I would say, you know, citizens.
How else were they supposed to get approval?
Well, there was no approval. It was in violation of the code, and they can appeal it, and they did. But you know, citizens can go out there and they can ask city councils, you know, can I build in this lot? Happens all the time. I think our argument is saying that that shouldn't trigger a 60-day rule for the city to make a decision. If they don't, the citizen all of a sudden is granted that right. That would be a violation of the code. That's my point of the expansion of 15.99 in this case.
Well, but if they meet that definition of seeking government approval and they make a request and they meet all the requirements on a request, I think subdivision 2 does kick in for the city to respond, which makes sense. I mean, if a citizen is asking, hey, we want approval for something, either government approval or permit or license, can you approve it? And under this code, if the city doesn't take any action, then they can go ahead and do it. They get explicit approval now from a non-response.
And again, that's the E case declined to expand it to appeals. And I think that's very similar to this case. So that's our argument. Again, it's in the brief and everything. So, and I think council did talk a little bit about what happened after. I think, you know, that right now is kind of a moot point right now. I think we're arguing 1599 does not apply. So that's kind of where we're at right now. So thank you.
Thank you very much, both parties, for your arguments and your briefing. We'll be issuing an order within the 90-day statutory time frame. That is our last case set for oral arguments for today. With that, court is adjourned. Have a great day.
See you too. I can't use that.